something we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and today's going to be a great show, man. I see a lot of people already jumping in, checking out the show, so I really appreciate you wherever you're watching that, either YouTube, Bullhorn, Facebook, LinkedIn, where I don't know, wherever. Let us know in the chat where you're watching from so we have a better idea, but I got a great show lined up for you today. I'm joined here in a moment by my friend Katie Brinkley, who is my Tuesday co-host when she's available, and she has been wildly busy in Web3 world, traveling all over the country, learning a bunch of stuff. So I'm excited to catch up with her in just a second. But I want to welcome you to the show. If you have any questions, as we're going to be talking about the evolution of social media in Web3 and what that looks like to the best of our knowledge, or really to the best of Katie's knowledge, I'm studying it, but not as studied as her. So I'm excited to pick her brain about that. So if you have any questions as we go through the show, we are set up to take questions from Bullhorn, from Guild, or Ritual Motion, from YouTube and Facebook and all the places. So just leave them in the chat, but put ?? And then and let us know where you're watching from, or what your question is, rather. Or let us know where you're watching from and your question, whatever. If you want to put it together, we can figure it out. So also, while we're doing all this nice front-end stuff of the show, be sure to like, share, subscribe, follow, whatever it is on whatever platform you're listening to. We really appreciate all of you guys and gals for checking out the show. And now, I think Katie jumped in. She's had some time to take a breath after she's jumped off a call right now to get on the show. So, Katie, how's it going? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for jumping in. I know you've been crazy busy. I've seen you on Instagram. You're like in a plane, in a car, on a train. You're all over the place. So, you're doing good?
I don't know why my camera looks all blurry compared to yours. I have an HD camera.
That's not your fault. That's Ecamm's fault. If anybody out there in Ecamm world, I hope they're looking. I'll send it to them afterward. Maybe they can fix it. We'll see what happens. I know, right?
Don't mind me all pixelated here.
Don't mind me. I just look like an unborn fetus on an ultrasound. It's cool. This is what my co-host looks like all the time on my fishing show. Welcome to the party of Ecamm.
But yeah, been on planes, trains, and automobiles this past week, and next week I'm going to add boats to that mix because we're going on a vacation next week too with the family, and then I get on another plane and head to Podfest to do some speaking. So yeah, it's been a super busy May.
I know. I'm excited for you. I'm a little jealous about the Podfest thing, which we got a little discount code coming up here in a few minutes that we can talk about. But I will be on a plane in 2 weeks as well. Actually, I will be on a plane right now, 2 weeks from now, heading back to North Carolina. So moving back there, pretty excited about it. I got to talk to you afterward. I don't know if we're doing a show next week or not, because I forgot. I underestimated all the crap it takes to move to a different country, essentially, and I forgot from 10 months ago. And so now I'm like, oh my gosh, I forget about this and that. So anyway, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. So,
man, you know, it's awesome that you're able to work from anywhere, because, you know, right now you're living the life in Puerto Rico and going to be heading back to North Carolina. And, you know, like you said, you're going to have to maybe take a pause for a day, but you're going to be able to still pick right back up and just be in a different place and keep on showing up live.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I think we're going to take, I'm going to take a week off. I think I'm going to take a whole week just to get back and get settled. And, you know, because people are like, oh, just sit in front of your computer, in front of your webcam. I'm like, that's just not how I roll. Like, I'm just not going to do that. So I'd rather show up and have everything working. But anyway, that'll be fun. That'll be a good time. So, well, Katie, I got a new little segment that I want to do. Actually, we got several segments lined up, but this first one is a little thing to get to know us a little bit, or really get to know you a little bit. Yeah, let me ask you one thing. So I'm going to ask you three random questions that I've randomly selected to get to know Katie a little bit. Maybe I'll answer them too if people want to know. But the first question up is, what is the oddest job that you've ever taken to earn a dollar?
So my very first experience in entrepreneurship is I started my own rescreening business. So like the screens on your house, like for your windows. I started my own business where I would rescreen screens because here in Colorado, we have a lot of hailstorms. The screens take a beating with that hot sun. So I was like, I could just rescreen these screens and make some money. And I was charging, you know, I was charging 10 bucks a screen and window companies were charging 30 bucks a screen. But yeah, it was 10 bucks a screen. It was my very first experience into entrepreneurship. I did it when I was in high school and in college, just, you know, advertised in the neighborhood paper. And it was a fun little endeavor, a rescreening business.
Rescreening. Okay. I come from the screen printing world. So I was like, oh, you rescreen screens for screen printing? But I guess nowhere near the same. That's like super hard to do. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think of my oddest job I've ever taken. One time in college, I took a job selling meat out of a meat truck. Like you just drive around and cold knock on people's doors and see if they want to buy a steak or whatever. Anyway, people ask me like, why do you like sales? I'm like, I don't know. It's just weird. I can just knock on your door and be like, hey, you want a piece of meat? You want some steak? What are you eating for dinner? I got a steak out here. All right. So what is the most annoying bill that you have to pay?
What's the most annoying bill that I have to pay? Like for households or for like business?
Just whatever's annoying. Whatever you're like, wow, why do I got to pay this?
Well, I sure don't like paying my my bill for my scheduler because I need to have it. But I mean, it's ginormous because I do it for all my clients. So it's like $4,500 a year, but I know I need to have it. It's the most affordable option that I've found that does all the things that I need it to do. Now, granted, I talk about schedulers a lot in the one that I use. I also recommend, but for the average user who's just getting started into scheduling, I think it comes out to like $20 a month. So substantially less, but again, since I do it for so many people, it takes a big chunk out of my pocketbook.
Oh yeah. That sounds, I don't know about, I think the most annoying fee that I'll say fee, I won't even say bill, is like, I hate transaction fees. I mean, I know they cost as much. I'm like, there's no way it costs that much. Like a transaction fee is like really just gets me sideways every time I get to pay one.
A fee that I don't like is DoorDash with their delivery fees, you know? And so I signed up for the DoorDash membership, but it's still like, you know, I'm like, man, they're making a fortune out of this, charging like $3.68 per delivery. I was going to add on a coffee from somewhere else. I was like, do you want to add a coffee for $5.70 more? And I was like, sure, I'll go ahead and add on a coffee. But then I was going to have to tip the driver for an additional stop and add a delivery fee on, whereas before I didn't have to have a delivery fee. So anyways, that I was really annoyed about. So that's a transaction fee that I'm not a fan of.
Yeah. Save John in the chat said, I don't know where this is going to pop up. Says the monthly bank fee to maintain your account. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to pay you to hold my money. Like, thanks a lot. Like that you use and make money off of. Like, all right, cool.
Right?
Yeah. Right. So kind of annoying, kind of frustrating, but is what it is. All right, Katie, I'll stop asking you questions. We will get to our creator highlight real quick. Cause I want to get into this conversation and then, and we'll talk about PodFest and then we'll jump right in.
Creator highlights. No cooking necessary. No assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, so today we are highlighting Diamond Mine Results. This is my friend Sam. Has an awesome podcast, awesome YouTube channel. And Diamond Mind Result is really like personal and professional development organization dedicated to creating inspiring content for aspiring entrepreneurs and dream seekers. Their passion is to build a community of shift thinkers, which I love that. I love that, shift thinkers, and diamond miners dedicated to digging into their goals despite life's obstacles. I've had an opportunity to work with Sam in the past for some projects that he was hiring me to consult on, and it was a lot of fun, man. Super great guy, super great podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, go check him out. And also go check out the Owl app. I've promoted this a lot, so use the code BT614503 for early access and a $10 sign up bonus and get paid for that advice for all those people who go, I just want to pick your brain. Katie, are you over there yet? I can see you tearing up on Owl.
I'm not on Owl, man. I'm on so many social audio platforms. There's only so many hours in the day. And I was really active on Wisdom.
Oh yeah.
And I liked Wisdom a lot. And I'm not over on Owl yet. I've heard a lot of creators really like the platform though.
Yeah. I think they like it because they can like just say, oh, I want a dollar a minute or whatever, and they can set their own time and show up when they want, all that kind of fun stuff. So, all right, one more thing is news to me, and where did I put it? Here, I always lose one of these.
That's news to me.
Creating Daily. All right, this isn't really like news, but PodFest is coming up, so we wanted to promote this event. Katie, you're going and speaking at it?
Yeah, I'm going to be hosting two panel sessions, and I'm going to also be teaching a track on how to use a social media scheduler to make sure that you stay consistent with your podcast promotion. Man, I just feel like we're talking all about schedulers so far for today's episode.
I know, like maybe we should reschedule this topic for something else and talk about schedulers. So Katie was generous enough to give us a discount. Is that your discount code, I guess? 20% off discount?
It is, yeah. So anyone that wants to go to PodFest, save 20% off of your ticket by entering in the discount code or promo code of RMM. And yeah, you can save some money on it. But this is, Billy, I just wish you were not moving, because you need to be at this event, man. Well, one, because I'd like to see you IRL, but I feel like you could be like teaching some master classes at it. So next year, man, don't move during podcast.
I was just about to ask a really old man question, like, what the heck does IRL mean? But then I figured it out, like, in real life. Okay, so I'm like, wait a minute, what are you saying to me? That's too funny. So yeah,
so the kids are using these slang terms now. IRL means in real life, also known BRB. Be right back. We can keep on going.
Yeah, right. That's what I was in there. Oh my god! Oh my gosh! I'm getting old. What am I doing? I'm hoping to stay into this new internet world phase. You know, in a part of this, Katie, for this conversation for me today is to learn one, because there are so many people doing NFTs and cryptocurrency and Web3 and Web this and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what is all this stuff? And so maybe today we can figure it out. And we're going to kind of carve it into like the social media aspect. I'm sure it'll go a few different ways. But to kick off our conversation about this, what exactly is Web3? Or what is Web3 as we know it today, I should say?
Well, so this is the thing, Billy. I think that I was kind of along the line. So you and I met on Clubhouse, and over about a year ago, there started being a whole lot more crypto rooms and NFT rooms. I remember back in January when I joined the app of January 2021, there wasn't hardly any. And then around this time, there started to be more. And then by the fall, I felt like every other room was a crypto room. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Why is this being taken over by crypto? This is so annoying. I don't care about your monopoly money. But then good old Mark Zuckerberg had to go and change the name of Facebook to Meta. And when he did that, I was like, I'm going to have to learn about Web3. Because if one of the richest men in the world that controls so much of how we interact with one another on a daily basis is saying, I'm changing the name, not only do I believe in Web3 so much, I'm going to go ahead and change the entire company name because that's how much I believe in it.
It wasn't because they were just getting a bad rap for crap they were doing. You don't think that was it? I thought that's the reason why they changed it, because they're like getting some heat for being whatever they were doing. I won't get into it, but I thought it was a political move, not a I believe in Web3 move.
No, but I mean, like, and think about it, because they have the Oculus VR, you know, little 3D things, headwear that you can wear. They have the Facebook Watch, which, you know, is kind of like an Alexa that you can watch and have talk to people with. And think about Facebook groups. That's what they've really been putting a lot of their energy and efforts behind. And really, it was preparing all of us for this new Web3 space. It was preparing us for this new Web3 world. And that's what Web3 and NFTs are. I mean, I was talking to with one of my girlfriends, saying like, gosh, after good old Zuck made the name change, it's like, I do not want to learn about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and NFTs. I don't want to learn about it. I feel like it's a foreign language. You know, there's, you know, like paying gas fees and, you know, buy the dip. And I'm like, what is all this? You know, it's all these different slangs. You know, BRB seems super easy and IRL seem like super easy slang terms compared to what's being talked about with Web3. And I said to her, I was like, man, you know, I just don't want to learn about this. And I was like, I don't understand who's going to use it. I don't understand how it will be used. And she said to me, she said, well, my daughter puts on her Oculus to watch Netflix. And I was like, why on earth would you put on a heavy 3D glasses to watch TV when all I have to do is just hit a remote and watch TV right here? And she said, well, so here's the thing. She can put it on, and her friend who lives in Texas can put it on, and they can watch the same movie together, and they can turn their head and see one another. And they can choose where they're watching it. They could be up in the mountains with it snowing instead of sitting on the couch in Seattle, you know, on a 90 degree day, you know, suffering through the humidity. You know, they can be wherever they want together to watch this movie. And I was like, okay. I think I get it, you know? And so that's when I was like, I'll just start learning about it. And it's really, like I said before, I think that when some of the richest men that own technology companies are investing billions of dollars into this technology, you're naive to not pay attention. Mm-hmm. And because it's going to be happening, whether we like it or not, you know, it's going to be coming. And the longer you put off learning about it, the further behind you're going to get.
Okay, gotcha. So do you think we're going to turn into like that movie Ready Player One? Yeah. We're going to be.
I do.
We're going to stack up mobile homes and storage. You know what? It's already happening. Millennials are already buying these little tiny home storage units. So maybe these little cargo ships. No,
okay. So, and think about the pandemic, Billy. Think about why we met. You and I would have never crossed paths.
True.
Ever. But we were stuck at home, away from all of our outside friends or family, and we were craving other human interaction. And so we opened ourselves up to make friends with strangers on the internet. And from making friendships on the internet, now all of a sudden, oh, I'm in this Facebook group. Come join my Discord. Come join, you know, my Mighty Networks community. And what we've been doing is creating these little micro communities of people where we have similar things in common, and we no longer have borders. There's no more borders for us. There's no more, you know, state lines. There's no more, you know, hashtags that I just wasn't searching, so I would never come across you. We've found a way to meet each other, and that's what Web3 and especially NFTs have done. You have the opportunity to meet people from anywhere based on a common interest.
So I think those are all really good like use cases, and I 100% agree. So like we all met on Clubhouse, and then took those relationships other places, doing a live stream together. Like I'm working with two people, you and Sid Meadows, on this show every week. That both of you all I met on Clubhouse. I've never met you in real life, and we become friends. And so I think that is some of the benefits of, you know, Web3 and kind of moving into this digital world. But from my understanding, it's the web, like people are saying, like from Web2 to Web3, it's this big decentralization of people like Mark Zuckerberg, people like Bill Gates to say, hey, we're going to take control away from you guys who are the rich white dudes with a bunch of money telling us how we need to interact with each other. So what is in it for Mark Zuckerberg, do you think, that is he just trying to grab
the metaverse?
What's the metaverse?
The metaverse.
So just his own, his own world, I guess.
Yes. So do you remember Ari Niceman? He was on Clubhouse a bunch. I've hosted a bunch of rooms with him, and those like Clubhouse for beginners rooms. Well, he owns a music entertainment company, and during the pandemic, he built a metaverse. And in this metaverse, you have the opportunity to walk around a virtual convention and go see virtual musicians have a concert. And you have your own little avatar. Wow. You can walk around. And, you know, at the time, I remember him sending that to me. He's like, hey, yeah, check what I built. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. But it was next level. That's what these guys in tech are creating is that. So, think about Fortnite. Think about Roblox. You know, what people are doing is they're taking their little game pieces and they can use their virtual money, their virtual tokens to buy a new outfit, to buy some shoes, to buy a cool, you know, like my daughter plays Animal Crossing because she's 7. But I mean, she was so excited when she was able to buy her first bed for in the house. So, I mean, like, but that's what it's moving towards is, yeah, you can, you know, I'm sitting here in this office, but let's say in the metaverse, I can have enough social tokens that I can make it a really sweet office overlooking, you know, the ocean with, you know, maybe I can make it like the Hunger Games and have like the giant mountains with, you know, ocean in front of me and, you know, floor to ceiling windows because I have enough tokens. So, I mean, like, that's what it is. It's about digital currency in this digital world that you are going to be able to live and do business in and hang out with people in and, you know, go see music concerts in. I mean, who was it? Oh, I'm blanking on his name. He did a concert in Fortnite. He's like a rapper.
Who was that?
Was it Lil Wayne?
I don't know. Or Snoop Dogg or somebody. I'm sure Snoop's done it.
Somebody did a virtual concert. Yeah. Or maybe it was Kendrick Lamar. I don't know. But somebody did a concert in Fortnite, and everyone showed up and has their little avatar.
Didn't Bieber do that? I can't remember.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. The world, so, and this is the thing about it. It's like the world is
with the kids these days.
Yeah, it's like the world's moving so fast. And I think it's, but you know what makes me nervous about it? It is Clubhouse. You know, Clubhouse started off, it was banging, it was awesome, it was great. People were going there. And now in my community that I built there, it's a ghost town. I don't know about everybody else, but there's no podcasting rooms. There's no live streaming rooms. I mean, there is some, but not like, you know, during the middle of the pandemic, it was like a ton of podcasting stuff, a ton of it. And now the only people that are jumping in it are people who built really big podcast audiences. You haven't seen them for like 8 months and they jump back in like, oh, I got this NFT project. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, this has just got to be a cash grab. And I think this is what makes me so nervous about all these projects and coins and this token and this thing and that thing. It's like, at some point, it's like, are you just trying to rake me over the coals or you really want to build a community with me? And that's what makes me so nervous. And I mean, I know there's good and bad in everything. So we can't speak for everybody, but it does make me nervous a little bit.
No, I hear you. I mean, like, and that's the thing is how you know what's a good community or a good project to buy into. But this is the thing too. It's like when you get an NFT, we haven't really talked into like, we've mostly been talking about metaverse and what does this mean for social media. But I mean, let's say that you buy into an NFT project. So there's a number that I've bought into and there's a number that I'm super duper active in their Discords and in their communities. And I join their Twitter spaces and I've talked to these guys, other people in the DMs, kind of like how Clubhouse used to be. And we're all based on a common interest. So, you know, like one of them I'm a part of is called the Meta Athletes. And Roger Clemens is in it and Devon Taves from the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, like there's a lot of athletes that are in this community, But then there's just a lot of fans like me and people that love sports. And we want to talk about exercising and mindset. And we want to talk about the game that we're watching. And so, I mean, that's where I've found my community. And the only reason, you know, I can go on and on about how great it is. But then like my buddy Vince, he's like, that would not do anything for me because I don't live in America. So I don't know anything about American sports. But two, I don't like sports anyways. So why would I want to buy that NFT? So, I mean, you have to do your own research.
Yeah.
Because when you buy into these communities, you buy these NFTs, you're buying, kind of buying friends. So who do you want to be friends with? Who do you align with? That is one aspect of the NFTs is the social token. But I mean, and with the community. But it's a different way of finding, I don't like this term. I need to find another way of saying it, but finding your tribe, you know, finding your people, finding those that you align with.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, and I think it is cool. Like, I think there's a lot of awesome use cases for, so will there be social media? Will there be Instagram? Will there be Facebook? Or will all this stuff just get absorbed into the metaverse? And it'll be like, oh, I want to look at this guy's pictures. So I just go to his picture room, or I just go and walk into his living room and look around like at grandma's house when I was nine. Like, it's kind of interesting to think about.
We want to keep saying, part of me is I'm like, nah, I don't know. You know, I think it'll get there someday. But think, this is what makes me feel really old, is that like 18 years ago, none of this existed.
Yeah,
it's become such a part of our lives in less than two decades. That, I mean, like, for crying out loud, I remember our very first cell phone, like the one, the Zach Morris Saved by the Bell, you know, giant brick.
Yep.
That was our first cell phone. And now we're walking around with computers in our back pockets.
Yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
So, I mean, technology is moving very, very fast. And so for me to say like, oh, yeah, well, I think I could get there someday, you know, maybe in our kids' time, Billy. But this could be in 5 years. This is how we do it. And all of a sudden we're like, oh man, remember when we thought that the whole like avatar thing, the whole PFP profile picture changing thing was, you know, like so outrageous. I mean, it could be like that. Or we could say like, remember when we all thought that we were going to be talking, you know, and cruising around in flying cars from the back to the future. I mean, who knows? But with the way that technology and the money that's being invested in it right now, I think it's going to happen sooner than we expect.
Yeah. And I guess if they add, because that was one of my questions for you, is like, because I see people who are going to be, I feel like you and some other people in my circle are like, let's go figure it out. Let's like be first adopters. Like, let's really run after it. I'm probably somewhere like in the middle, because I'm just like, you know what? I got stuff I'm trying to do as far as like business wise, and I don't really want to make the investment in all these different projects. I don't really want to take the time to understand them, and I will, upon your recommendation or a few other people, I'll like maybe buy into a project or whatever. But I'm not like studying this space at all. And then I have, you know, people like, you know, that are not going to do it. I mean, they're just like, I'm not going to do that. However, those people probably said they're not going to get on Facebook either. Now everyone's on Facebook, so I don't know. But what do you think
But that is the thing.
Go ahead.
I mean, people that say like, oh, well, there still are people that aren't on Facebook.
Because
there
are.
I mean, there's still people that aren't on any social media. And
that's true.
You know what? There's still some people that are out there that are fortunate enough to only have the circle of people in their network be the people that they meet in real life. And I'm not saying that real life interactions are ever going to go away. I mean, I just went to two in real life or IRL events, and it was so great to see these people. But I have to say that it was awesome to be like, I met Brian Fanzo and hung out with him, and it was like hanging out with a friend because we had talked to each other in Discord. I'd been in his, you know, clubhouse rooms. I'd been in his Twitter spaces. He knew who I was. And it was just like, oh, this is you in real life. Hi. So I don't think that in real life connections are going to be going away. I just feel like this is going to be a whole new way to grow your circle.
Gotcha. So this must, So I agree. And I think that it does lessen the trust timing or whatever with people, you know, because I know there's people I'll do business with off of Clubhouse because I'm like, oh, I feel like I know them, so I'll do business with them or whatever, and I've never met them in person. I don't have a relationship outside of Clubhouse with them, all that kind of stuff. So do you see that there's going to be, and I guess there will be, like if we're creating virtual spaces and we're designing our virtual offices and our virtual homes or hubs or whatever we call them, I guess that's going to be the new, I guess we're just talking a lot about Web3, but it's in our metaverse, but it's talking about replacing these social spaces. So I guess we will hang out in rooms with our, our contacts in or our sunglasses on or whatever, as we sit in our offices. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't think we're all going to be wearing those clunky, VR headsets. I think that's going to be going away. It'll probably be something like, do you remember the Google Lens? I think that's what it was called. Google Lenses, they were like glasses. So I have a feeling it'll be like that, and we can then see people as they are, or we can hit a switch and see them as their little PFP picture. And I mean, with Instagram making the announcement that they're going to be incorporating NFTs into Instagram, one of the things that they're going to do is have these 3D avatars of your PFP. So let's say I want to show up as my Meta athlete and first through stickers and stories, I can actually show up as my talking avatar. And that's what I think is going to be like the first rollout. And it's gaming. Like, I grew up playing video games. I don't know about you, Billy, but I mean, I still play some hockey video games. I play The Sims, but I feel like it's going to be that next level of like incorporating gaming into group communities, into transparent, purchases, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get to study The Simpsons. The Simpsons are always years ahead of us, so I get to go. Yes, I get to go watch some Simpsons, see what's happening. I do think it's a really interesting world. I think it's an interesting space. I'm not anti-web anything. I'm not anti-web 3. I mean, I don't know that if this was 10 years ago, I'd be like a super quick adopter, because that's who I was 10 years ago. I think I'm more cautious now than ever. But I do think it will be interesting, and I haven't played video games in a long time, so that's my wife is like anti video game because I would be addicted to it. So that's my other concern for me, is my personality. You go like even with live streaming, I would live stream all day every day if I could figure out how to make money at it and take care of my family. I'd be like, oh cool, honey, I'm going in here to turn on my computer for 8 hours and I'll just gonna live stream and do whatever. Like, it's a lot of fun, but that's the addicting personality. So it'll be interesting long term to see what this does health wise to people, like if it motivates them, inspires them, or if it makes people wither away and lose relationships and become like those, because we all know those people who've sit in front of their computer for hours basically peeing in bottles and eating pizza and never moving and losing their whole entire families and their whole entire lives. And that's like kind of scary. And that's what is kind of like, is that going to be us? Like, cause I miss people in real life. Like, I know I've been on an island in a country I don't speak the language. So I've been isolated for 10 months. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is put on a headset and sit in my office and be like, what's up guys? Like, I want to go see people, So I have a little different perspective.
Well, but I mean, I could feel too, that's one of the things that we all loved about Clubhouse. Even though it was just a picture, a smiling picture that had a little gray vibrating thing when someone was talking, I would go in a room and I'd feel like I was hanging out with my friends. Like, I'll see, Billy's taking the stage. I'll just go in there and listen to him. Hey, man, maybe I'll come up for a minute. But it still feels like I'm hanging out with my friends. It doesn't feel like I'm just sitting on the phone. Right.
True. So it'll probably just ease us into it, just like everything else. It'll just like, let's become a part of life, just like carrying our phones around.
Well, and I think, exactly. And I think that if the pandemic had not happened and shut down, because it wasn't just like the state of Colorado it was the entire world. So everyone had to figure out new ways to meet people. Everyone had to figure it out. I don't think anyone's going to go back to me and like, oh, well, I don't talk to people online. It's way more mainstream. I mean, think about meeting, a significant other on Match.com or on eHarmony. Back when I was in college, it was like, oh gosh, I don't want to tell people that I'm on Match. But now it's like, oh yeah, we met online. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and that's true.
I think it's...
You got to watch out for those filters. Evolution. You got to watch out for those filter avatars, though. They're going to get you.
Yeah, for real, for real. And I mean, like, that's one of the things, too, is, you know, if we're all walking around as these cartoon dogs or apes or giraffes, and that's how we always, like, you know, there's one person that I always see as a giraffe, and I'm like, I don't, you know, that guy could be sitting right next to me in this office right over here. I would never know it was him because I just know him as this giraffe, you know? And so it gives you that kind of anonymity, I guess.
Like, you want to care it? Well, and that's kind of the interesting thing about, you know, from my research of like Web3 and all this decentralized stuff is it, you know, like right now, like Mark Zuckerberg, his team, Bill Gates, you know, all these guys, Jeff Bezos, like they can like basically track everything you're doing. Like, even if you are like, I mean, you know, I heard somebody talk about that they started getting ads for, you know, baby stuff and being a dad and like a dad journal and all this stuff. And he's like, why am I getting this? And then like a few days later, his wife's like, hey, I'm pregnant. And, you know, so she'd probably been doing some research, looking up stuff, like blah, 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 blah. And then he starts getting targeted for that information. And it's like, holy cow, dude, that's so weird. But I guess with this, from my understanding, it's supposed to kind of deteriorate that control system. And it becomes, you know, less and less of like one corporation.
You own your data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the... Because it's... The safety and the non-safety of it? Because it seems like you can just get into a metaverse and screw some stuff up and nobody is held accountable because they can just like hide it within this virtual world.
It's definitely kind of the wild, wild west right now. But yeah. I mean, I do think that with our data, why are we allowing a bunch of rich white men to own it? Why are we giving up all of our access to our shopping history to strangers and to brands and businesses? Now, as a marketer, I love it because I can target exactly who I want to see my ads. But at the same time, as a content creator, Billy, don't you think that if you make some reel and it goes viral and you get over 1 million views on it and you're talking about a Swifter, like, you know, those dust things. Let's say you're just talking about Swifter just to be funny and it goes viral. And let's say, you know, Facebook gives you $300 for it. You caused so much content for that business. You made so much money for Facebook and probably for the Swifter. But I mean, like, why should you only get $300? Shouldn't you own what you're creating? Shouldn't you own your community? Shouldn't you own your followers? I mean, that we saw last year when Facebook went down. Everyone on Facebook and Instagram was like, oh, what do I do? I mean, I've never gotten more emails in my entire life because everyone went to their email list and was like, Facebook is down. If you still want to do business with me, here, go to my website. But I mean,
Katie, I called the cops. They didn't do anything. So I called you. Help me. That's so funny. I do remember that. People call 911 and stuff.
That's businesses and brands and creators should be able to, shouldn't have to rely on somebody else if they want to talk to their community.
Yeah. So, but we're still going to rely on someone else, right? Unless we all create our own worlds and invite people to them. Right?
Well, and I mean, this is kind of where, you know, having those discords, having those NFTs, that's kind of, I believe, the first step into this metaverse space is NFTs. Because it's you finding, I mean, these NFT communities, a lot of them are no different than a Facebook group. You know, you just don't need to spend your time on Facebook to be a part of it. You just got to spend all day on Discord. But I mean, you can still watch live video. You can still have social audio chats. You can still have conversations being made. So I think that we're still trying to figure it all out. But I do think that NFTs are the first step into the metaverse. And what, you know, with with these big players in the tech space, Elon with Twitter, Zuck with Facebook, you know, Bill Gates with LinkedIn. It's just a matter of time until some level of us immersing ourselves 100% into their platforms is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's why they're there. That's why they're trying to pave the way and gain control and all that kind of fun stuff. I mean, it is what it is. And I think that's the, you know, challenge for us. But, you know, but so I guess my question would be this, like, and I'm trying to brainstorm use cases as like a creator. Like, if I create this reel, I mean, what does creating it in Web 3 versus Web 2 give me any more rights and access to it? Is it I turn it into an NFT and I sell it to that company? Or what? I mean, how does that mm-hmm. work? Like, what do you foresee? I know stuff is like we're speculating because everything's being made up. It seems like every single day something new is happening. So,
yeah, I mean, that's where, you know, I did an unboxing for these shoes actually that I'm wearing right now. These ones. Boop. So I did an unboxing for them and I got a lot of people saying like, oh, what brand are those? Where'd you get those? Da, 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 da. Well, you know, if I wanted to sell that little video to Incas, which is where I got the shoes, and be like, hey, look, a lot of people like this unboxing that I did, you know, it's $5. You can use it on your platforms. You know, and that way I'm getting credit, you know, so that's where you could sell it to brands. You could turn, like you said, turn it into an NFT, a one of one. And like, okay, if you want to have this video that hit over a million people or whatever, if you want to own the rights to this episode of Creating Daily, you know, it'll cost X and it might cost 14 cents. Or let's say someone buys it and really likes it and wants to turn it into a TV episode and they want to sell it for $1,400. You still get a percentage of that because you were the original creator. So no matter what happens to it, everyone has the opportunity to, you know, you have the opportunity to continue making money off of it because you were the creator.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's the good thing about it too. It's like, that's what I like about these NFT projects is I can buy into it. I can watch it grow or watch it die, whatever. But anytime I want to sell it, I can mm-hmm. probably get something back out of it. And I think as a consumer, mm-hmm. that's really amazing. And then I guess as the producer, it's like, okay, this is cool. I mean, I guess it's cool. I mean, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, I signed Katie up. She buys my NFT once. She's in my community. Now I'm signed up for like 10 years to say, okay, I'm going to show up every Thursday morning at 5 a.m. to talk to you about something. Like, when does that end for me as the creator? You know, like now I'm bound to 10,000 people forever, you know, for that utility. So,
well, but then people try to figure that out. You know, let's say you change it and you're like, actually, it's just going to be once a month now. And people are like, well, this isn't what I bought in for.
And then they just sell
so
it.
So they can sell it.
All right.
And someone else could buy it. They're like, I'm good with once a month. That works for me.
So those utilities are flexible. It's not a contract for the life of ownership. It's just whatever I deem at that moment,
in
whatever
creator.
Time. Gotcha. That's the stuff that I think is really important. Maybe we could go through that because I know you started an NFT challenge, so you're probably walking through that. So I didn't show up to night one, so that's probably my fault. Probably answer all these questions. So tell us about that because here's the thing that I think is really interesting is there's a lot of people excited about it. But I hardly know any people who really know, like, what the heck is going on as a consumer. I mean, I know, like, people like you and some other people that are producing projects. But I'm like, hey, you just bought $5,000 worth of NFTs. I'm like, what do you know about that project? They're like, I don't know, man. Somebody told me I just got a Meta wallet and that's it. And I'm buying stuff. And I'm like, this is what I just don't like about this stuff. It's like a real, like, hype industry right now, it seems like. And it seems super volatile. And that's what I'm trying to figure out is like, how as a creator do I get into the space, but do it in a way that is really beneficial to people? Because I just don't want to do a cash grab and I don't want anybody grabbing my cash either, honest.
Yeah, for real. And I think that is where the whole NFT space is getting kind of a bad rap because there are people that are out there just making cash grabs and trying to, you know, like mint out and then that's it. And then you get the rug pulled. So So, last night, you know, it's a 5-day challenge. And at the end of this challenge, you're going to walk away with your own NFT for free in your own little hot wallet. But yes, that last night's episode was kind of just what is an NFT? And for anyone listening, an NFT is a non-fungible token. And I had no idea what the word fungible meant, before NFTs came out. But if just really quickly, something fungible is, like a dollar. So I could give you $10, Billy, and, then say, hey, yeah, pay me back next week. And you could give me $10 back. Now it might not be the exact same $10 bill, but it still works the same way. I can still spend, you could give me a 5 and 5 1. That's fungible. Now, non-fungible is, like the Mona Lisa. I give you the Mona Lisa and say, hey, I give this back to me for my gallery next week, and you give me a Monet, I'm going to be really mad. I mean, yeah, they're both great pieces of art, very, very valuable pieces of art, but I didn't give you a Monet. I gave you the Mona Lisa. So that is something that is non-fungible. So we talked about that last night. Today, we are going to be diving into technology. So like, what is a cold wallet? What is the blockchain? Tomorrow's, we're going to be talking all about how you can use it as a creator, and showing different case studies of like how a nonprofit has done it, how small businesses are doing it, how different musicians are doing it. So day 3 is going to be showing you a lot of examples, and then we get into it. But again, at the very end of the whole challenge, you are going to walk away with a free NFT, and we're giving away prizes every day too. So you get some fun stuff.
That's awesome. So is this an NFT that you are launching, or is it someone else's project and you're being a part of it?
So, yes, launching, both of them. So, it's my very first NFT project that I've been a part of, and it's me and my friend Vince, and he lives in New Zealand, and our artist lives in Australia. So I mean, like, we're a global NFT Woo! Company, but it's the first one that you get is called a Kanji Club NFT, and it's free, and the whole purpose behind it is just to give you a transparent way of NFTs and how you can use them. If you want to sell it on OpenSea, just to see what that's like, it didn't cost you anything just to get started. And so, I think like I said before, and I know we're kind of at the end of our time, Billy, but I think this Web3 space is coming. And if we can just pay it forward and try to all learn about it together now, and hey, if it doesn't end up working out, you've got to learn about some really cool ways of building community and finding community and some really cool technology. But if it is the future, well, then you are going to be one step ahead of everyone else. You are going to be able to help more of those around you learn about this, because it's not easy. There's a lot of new lingo. There's a lot of new terms. It's a lot of newness around technology. And I remember my first iPhone. I was like, why would I want to have music on my phone? I have my iPod, and I like having my two devices, and I don't even know anyone that owns an iPod now. So
I remember those days too. I remember when picture messaging came out on the iPhone. I was selling iPhones, and it was like, dude, this is crazy. But you couldn't even send a picture for like 5 days. Like, you just couldn't do it. So super amounts of fun. Yeah, I think it's going to be, and I think it's going to get easier. You know, right now it is a pain, you know, and that's a part of the reason why I'm like, dude, I don't want to have to study how to give money away. Like, this is the hardest, ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And like, to buy an NFT for the first time,
a challenge.
I was like, yeah, but I was like, oh, I got to get a wallet. Oh, it's going to be ETH. Oh, it's going to be this coin. It's going to be that coin. I'm like, dude, can we just please? And I think that's some of the pain points, which hopefully get worked out, and hopefully the technology or the systems are in place where people can take their real money and buy their fake money, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how do I just swipe a credit card?
So one more thing on this. It's, you know, you're saying like, oh, I got to buy ETH, or no, it's Bitcoin or whatever. But we have a lot of currency in the world as it is. If I wanted to send Vince in Australia some money, if I said, hey, I want to go ahead and buy your book from you, or I want to pay for some coaching from you, it would have to go through a wire transfer. Like, I can't send him US dollars, mm-hmm. you know, like my contractors, one of my designers, she lives overseas, and I have to send a wire transfer for her, and the value fluctuates. It's the same idea. We just have money without borders, though.
But I think the difference, though, if I had to push back on that a little bit, is it's like every project, it seems like someone's like, oh, check out my project. And you're like, cool, I'm going to go check it out. Oh, I like this, I'm going to buy it. And they use like a different blockchain, and there's like 25 different blockchains. I'm like, why? I mean, can you know? So now I got ETH, but then I got to like transfer that. Then I get to pay this gas fee, which is more than the amount of ETH I have in my account. And I'm like, how, why? This is so complicated, but I know it's going to get easier. It has to, if the general public is going to be widespread adoption and people are going to do it, because it just can't be complicated. And this is, you know, there's somebody that is in my circle and they keep saying, you need to drop an NFT for your fishing podcast. And I'm like, dude, I have 200 members signed up, or nearly 200. It's getting close for additional membership, but it's easy. It's a put your credit card number in. It's automatically deducting every single month. You know, it's like simple. You get one login. It's simple. And I think that's where
I think the segue for you, if you were me, I would look into launching a creator coin.
Yeah. But well, then once again, like I did look into that, but I think to get on some of these the platform I was looking at was like, you had to have a ridiculous amount of influence on the internet, like followers and all that kind of stuff. I just don't think it's for the average person to launch projects quite yet.
Well, no, I mean, like that's with any sort of thing. I mean, like you have to have a community already.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know,
have something that. So, yeah, I mean, like it's you have to have that community already, and if you're looking for an easy entry of getting people into Web3, creator coins are a great way of doing it, because you only need to have your credit card. You don't need to have an ETH. You don't need to have a hot wallet. You don't need to have any of that.
So if you were going to create one, and I don't understand all this, I'm like, I'm looking into it. I mean, I'm studying it, and I'm being a pessimistic, whatever, however you say
pessimistic.
That word. Yeah, there we go. I can't say it. Because I am like, okay. And it's really, and we could talk offline, because it is one of those, you know, frustrating things for me, because I do see power players in these markets who are telling the average person, the average creator, like, you can do this, I'm going to help you, and you're going to make a lot of money off of it. And I look at their online world and I go, I know what this takes, because I do have a decent size audience, and I know the percentage mm-hmm. of conversion that I've had in the first 90 days of this project. And this is a huge learning curve for the average person. And you don't have a huge audience to even get a small percentage. So it's like, whatever percentage would convert with USD is probably way smaller to convert to a coin or, you know, rally coin or whatever that is. So, but if I was going to start a coin, what platform would you recommend someone go to and take a peek and see what the requirements are?
Well, Rally is one of the biggest ones out there. And when you get started, they give you, like, depending on what your following is and everything, they give you, let's say, 10,000 tokens. And then that's where you can say, okay, if you, you know, buy in, you know, I'll match you 2-1. So then they get more tokens and all that. And you can use them as giveaways, and people who are active in the community, you can give them away. But I 100% agree. There are some people out there who say, like, yeah, let's just go launch a creator coin. And you have to have people that are already in your sphere. You can't just be a startup with 100 followers on Instagram and expect to have a successful, you know, crypto economy, a creator economy, right out the gate. And that's where Web3, you know, we're sitting here doing this live together. We're collaborating. And that's what I think, you know, that's what we learned from Clubhouse. It's collaboration is everything. If you can find other people in your industry or with a similar audience, you need to collaborate with them if you want to have your project be a success. And that's what I really love about Web3, is that these communities are collaborating instead of competing. We're not worried about, oh, Nike versus Adidas, you know, two people, you know, two communities that have a similar audience are coming together to join forces to make everyone better. And that's what I see coming from this Web3 world. I think that we have to be willing to collaborate with it. But as when you're first getting started, collaboration is going to be everything for you. And that's really what's going to be the main driver of moving the needle.
Yeah, I love that, Katie. I think you're one of the good ones. So I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you running ahead and, you know, figuring this stuff out and bringing people along and doing your NFT challenge. I think it's huge, because I do think it's, you know, hugely important that we learn this stuff, but then also be, you know, mindful and cautious and make sure we're following our gut at the end of the day. Because, you know, I'm in these spaces all the time. I'm always trying, you know, if somebody's trying to figure out how to monetize, it's me. Like I'm over here like eyes wide open. Like, how do we make money as creators? Because that's one of my passions, is to see people not be held by finances to launch their message. And so, you know, I'm a little disappointed at times, you know, most days when I log into somewhere and I'm like, wow, this is really happening. Like you're just doing a cash grab. Like, this is cool. Like, good for you. But I think it's, you know, focus on what we're doing, focus on learning it and, you know, connecting with the right people who are doing it to truly build community. Cause I do see even these communities that I'm like, ugh, I just feel lucky, but they have this cult style following that just blows me away. I'm like, wow, this is crazy, you know? So, anyway, I'm probably gonna get some hate messages for this, but I think it's true. And I think that's what we're doing in the creator world, is like, we gotta be true. We gotta be honest, and we gotta look at this thing through, you know, like a lens of, hey, what's really gonna benefit us at the end of the day, and not just, you know, creating the next Mark Zuckerberg in Web3. Right? Because it's what it's designed not to do.
So, exactly.
Anyway, exactly. My rant is over. I hit a spot there for a couple seconds. I about lost my focus. Because I just love people, man. I want them to succeed. And I don't want to see people get taken advantage of. And this is...
I agree.
Just like
I agree.
Everything else. I mean,
I agree. And I do think there will... Just like with any space, there's going to... I mean... Who else gets random text messages saying that, you know, so-and-so just won the lottery, you know, to text them with my Venmo so I can get 70 grand, you know?
True.
There's always going to be scammers out there. There's always going to be people that are trying to do things the wrong way. And man, I feel like a lot of these people that are trying that do it the wrong way, they're so smart. If they just applied their smarts for good, they could make such an impact in the world, but instead they're doing it the wrong way. It's unfortunate. And in that case, you just really have to know who to align with and, you know, do your research.
Love it, Katie. Well, this has been a great conversation. Once again, I don't know that you and I'll be back next week. I got to figure that out. Cause I underestimated the bigness of a move, even though I've already done it once in a year. But I really appreciate everything you're doing. I think you're awesome. Everyone go follow Katie. I am Katie Brinkley on Instagram. I've linked your link tree in the show notes so people can find it there and follow you. Is your 5-day challenge on there, on your link tree?
It isn't, but I will go put it on there, actually. We already started, but like I said, you can watch yesterday's video if you join the group today. And like I said, we walk you through step by step on how to do this whole NFT thing, why you should pay attention, or, you know, afterwards you can walk away and be like, okay, that was interesting. It's not for me. So at least you learned something, and at the very end of it, you get your own free NFT.
That's awesome. Well, Katie, high five to you and Vince for doing that. And we'll catch you next week for sure. Thank you so much for jumping in.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya. All right, everybody. That is a wrap for Creating Daily today. Hope you learned a lot. I learned a lot. I got some different perspective. I got my mind is going 100 miles an hour of like, you know, how do I get in here and study this Web3? Because I've probably, if you couldn't tell, been a little like, I'm going to resist. But I definitely think it is a thing for us to pay attention to, and all these bigger platforms are paying attention to it. And even one of the platforms I'm live streaming onto right now are really gearing up and really focusing on how can they be a part of Web3 and help creators and do all that kind of stuff. So really appreciate you joining me. Join me tomorrow. I'm going to be on with my friend Doc Rock. If you don't know him, he's big in the live streaming world. He is a community manager over at Ecamm. So his video better be working, and I'll grill him right here on the show. No, he's a good dude. We're going to talk about the power of live streaming, probably to all things creatorship, live streaming. Super great guy, and he's got a goal to reach 1 billion people, so we're going to dive into that. So join me tomorrow, same time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Central, and we'll see you then. All right, have a great day, and I'm going to find my last scene button here. It's not here. There it is. See you guys later.